Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Some people know that I'm a frequent guest on the Self-Indulgent Podcast. And one guy in that, Josh Nichols of the Self-Indulgent Podcast, he's always talking shit. Here's a clip.
And I had told her, I was like, your goal as a child is not to get good grades. Your goal as a child is to never have the teacher contact me.
Oh, I'm sorry. The first clip there was just him being a terrible father saying, as long as the teacher doesn't call me and bother me or make me have to do anything, then whatever the hell, I don't give a shit.
And now I've met this lady a couple times, and like one time she like flirted with me a little bit. It was really weird. Then when we went back to open house, I was like, oh, this is my wife. And she's like, oh. I would just say non-verbally, it was a lot of like cues.
So great parenting there. Oh, and then the second clip was him making up a story about non-verbal cues of a teacher hitting on him. So those were actually the wrong clips. This is what I want to talk about.
But Hollerback say this is just a brag.
I don't know what Hollerback would say. The only thing I know what Hollerback would say is it wouldn't be funny. That's the only thing I know for sure. Whatever Hollerback said, it would not elicit humor or laughter from anyone.
There you see Josh Nichols insulting me, saying I'm not funny. And so here's the thing, Josh Nichols. I formally offer a challenge to you, a stand-up challenge and an improv challenge. We will have a series of events with audience judging or some such scenario, and laughometers on everyone, and we're going to find out who's funnier, me or you, Josh Nichols. Do you accept my challenge? That is the question. Now on with Highway Diaries.
I'm sitting here with my main man, Jody Barton.
Hey, can I say first that, again, your car is disgusting.
What are you talking about? You're just saying that because every time I go in your car, it's worse. It's almost like your car is like where there's like going to be dead animals and stuff in it.
I think I'm sitting on sweat and candy. In your car, it's gross.
That's why I transport. I'm in the candy kilos of sweat export import business. Don't ask me about my business. We were just at a party. There was a lot of guys at the party compared to girls. Mm-hmm. Like the ratio was kind of, you know what I mean?
Sausage heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like, I'm mostly gay, but kind of into girls. Like you'd have a fucking field day there. Last night, I'm a little depressed because last night I bombed at Flappers following Whitney Cummings. The only reason I'm telling on stories to name drop Whitney Cummings.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. When you get up after someone famous, as soon as I'm walking in, the back row is walking out. They're gone now. They were Whitney Cummings' entourage and or they only stayed for her. They knew she was going to reach a high level and then it was all going to go downhill from there. They left. They were out.
Were they right in making that decision? Because you bombed. So in the end.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thanks for giving away the ending of my story. I bombed. I bombed terribly.
I think you gave the ending away.
I think you did. Okay. Well, also, you know the story.
I just wanted to reaffirm that you bombed. I just wanted to put that out there, say again, to make sure that everybody who's listening to the podcast knows that you bombed that night after a very famous comedian came on stage. A pivotal moment for you in your career.
And I was, you know what was weird? I was walking around the club thinking to myself, if she goes after me, I'm going to bury Whitney Cummings. That's what I was thinking. I wanted to bury her. I wanted to light that fucking crowd up and show my dick and dance around and then have her go up like, what the fuck am I going to do now? They already saw this white boy's cock. Uh-huh. What the fuck could I do?
How'd that work out for you?
Well, basically, I went up after her and then she did great and I ate a fucking sack of dick. Yeah. It's just, I have this thing where I try new stuff, you know? Every show I want to try new stuff. And the middle bit that I went for was untested. It stank up the room. It didn't really work out. What I wanted to talk about was this. I think it's more of a story for a podcast than a stand-up. But what happened was I was playing Manhunter. We called it German flashlight. We're basically flashlight types. German flashlight works where if you point a flashlight at someone and then you go Jody and you like shine the person, identify the person, then they have to be the German spotlight guy. And then as soon as the first switch happens, then you start changing clothes with your friends. You know, we would take each other's t-shirts off, give each other t-shirts. They shine the light on you. They're like, wait a minute. You know, that's Sammy. No, I'm wearing Sammy's shirt, bitch. You called the wrong name, fucka. You're still the German spotlight guy. So that's how we would play. But, so anyway, I was hiding behind a bush, right? And I look
at... Wait. You're playing the German spotlight game and you're hiding behind the bush?
Yeah. All right. Because I don't want... Because if the guy can't see me, he can't shine a light on me and guess my name.
And if you... Are you your shirt off at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. You've already traded clothes with your...
I traded clothes with everybody, so now he's getting... He's on to me in different people's clothes, so now I'm shirtless.
All right. And this is when you were a kid, and these are all adults you're playing with, I assume?
No. Everyone is about 13.
Okay. That's hot.
Okay. I look in the window, and I see my friend's dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I see it. And then I look over, and then I see what he's watching. What he's watching is scramble porn. Okay.
Yeah, I remember scramble porn.
So he is like really, really close to scramble porn.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I come from a really nice neighborhood. There's a lot of, you know, well-to-do. Each of the houses nowadays are like 400,000. I don't know to put it's tacky to put a name to it, but it's, you know, $400,000, 3 or 4 bedroom houses. You know, I'm thinking this guy's a man, but yet he is reduced. His wife is upstairs snoring. He doesn't have an open kind of sex policy where he can just go off and jerk off on her hair. Like, you know what I mean? He hasn't set up that marital contract yet. So he's got to be huddled in front of set. And he wasn't even mad.
I didn't know that was an option in marital contracts. You can come on her hair. That's part of the contract.
What? She's sleeping. Just to spice it up a little bit.
All right. I haven't even considered the hair as an erotic place to come, but I'm going to think about it now.
It's a place to come. Mm. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. So scramble porn.
He's really close to scramble porn. And I had like a fucking midlife crisis right there. Because I'm looking at a guy. He's in his own castle. He's not jerking off on his wife's face. All of his kids are outside. He's like, oh, the kids are out of the house. And he's just watching. And I'm like, I had a midlife crisis and I had to leave the German spotlight game. I went, guys, I gotta go. You know? And they're like, why? I'm like, what the fuck is the point of this game?
You had a midlife crisis at 13?
Yeah. Because I'm like, what's the point of this game? I'm gonna do well at this game. I'm gonna do well at college. I'm gonna get a good job. And then I'm gonna be in a house with a fucking wife sleeping upstairs. And my creepy ass hasn't got off in, you know what I mean?
Just told you a lot about your future.
And I just went, moment. What's the point of trying? You get everything that America tells you to get, and your fucking wife doesn't say, you know what, if you're horny, you could jerk off on my face. That's cool. If I'm sleeping, whatever. Uh-huh. What am I going to... What? Really? When I wake up, I have to wash cloth off my face to live in this fucking house?
Are you doing your wife? Your wife has to do this? She has to
that's
wash
my rent? If that's your only rent...
None of us
this
are...
is the most misogynist podcast. Listen, I want you to respect women out there.
You seem to... I think you have a fear of somebody jerking off on your face while you sleep.
I have a fear of it not being in my fucking prenup. That's why I got lawyers.
So... You make her sign a document that allows you to come on her face while she sleeps in order for you to be wedded to her?
Well, it would have to be like, you know, if 3 weeks of sex has not happened, you know, I'm allowed to jerk off on you while you're sleeping. You got to smoke the joint in front of your teeth. That catches the little stray leaves.
But then the leaves get all in my mouth. It's just...
This in front of your teeth. Use your teeth as a filter.
I feel as if somebody is coming on my face.
Have you been in one of my wet dreams?
I'm so invaded right now.
Anyway, so Whitney Cummings and I were on the same show.
Oh, yes.
Me and Whitney Cummings, yes. Same show, same billing.
Yeah.
Same, like if you went to the website, it was like my name and her name, and they were like, you know, it's like, oh, these are equals. This is the people on the show.
Is this what they call name dropping? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
What you're doing?
But the level of entertainment was a lot different between her set and my set.
Yes, she was and you weren't. Is that right? Is that what happened?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
I was not there. Every time I have seen, you know, I'm done with getting shitty stuff in my mouth.
What are you talking about?
Every time I have seen you, Eric.
Yes, sir.
Your stand-up.
Yeah.
I thought you are brilliant and
fantastically
funny.
Get out of here.
So I can't imagine how you would bomb. Unless, of course, you went after somebody who was good.
And well, basically, bit I just did about the story, I tried to condense and trim down into a joke, but I really, you know, when you only have 5 minutes, it fucks with you. Because you're like, I want to kind of try this thing out. It seems like it's a funny thing, but I have fucking 2 minutes if I'm going to also open with this thing I know works. And all my shit that, okay, here's the way I got introduced. This is the way I got introduced. Mm-hmm. Now coming to the stage, Eric Hollerbach. I don't know. I was just told how to say the name right before I got up, but I wasn't sure. Anyway, give him a hand. He plays maybe around. He's going to eat shit right now.
So they knew
you were. Ladies and gentlemen.
They knew you were a star.
Lower your expectations for Marek Makarbanakak.
Shit, Hollerbach. It sounds like holler back, and it's Hollerbach. And like, that's why I'm supposed to remember. Okay.
Cool. Thanks, everybody.
And despite the lowered expectations.
They weren't low enough. Let me tell you something. I shat up.
Eric, I have been at your shows. I will tell you that from the time you step on the stage, the audience is polarized. The audience doesn't know what to do with you. The times that I've seen you, when you've had an audience, they don't know what to do with you, and you either get them or you don't.
Yeah.
And
here's the thing, my mom came to visit a couple weekends ago. You mysteriously left that weekend that my mom was here, and my mom took that personally.
It's because me and your mom are the same person, and we can't be in the same room together.
Is it just that, like, your egos clash, and then it's, like, just fighting about, like, oh, wait, you're wearing that, I'm wearing that. What the fuck? You're on my territory.
We have a lot of issues, me and my mother. And I really don't feel comfortable talking about them with you.
Okay. I understand. It's pretty touchy. I know you guys have... I mean, it's only over Facebook, but it's, like, really tumultuous, and my mom.
We're going to need to wrap this podcast up, because I need to call it. This is making me uncomfortable.
So if my mom comes
to
a show, she came to a Flapper show. I batted 1,000, pretty much.
You did well that night.
Every single joke I said had some kind of positive reaction. Okay. Maybe not everyone.
I was not there,
but
that
a couple
night.
People.
I've
were
been to
the
Flapper
it.
Show, and you did really well at the one that I saw. Once you got the audience, but they weren't sure what to do with you at first.
Exactly. Well, I say crazy shit. I say crazy shit. And I think that's my thing. I don't want to be a comedian that people have go like that rehash, like, what do you think about this? Men do this, women do that. Ugh. No matter what you say of whatever tangle love scenario you think of, it's already been done before.
Women don't do that.
So I like to do
hilarious.
I like to do Hitler shit where I'm taking the side of Hitler. I like to, you know, take the side of the creep in a joke. I like to, you know, just because I feel like if you're
hold on, take the side of the creep or...
Yeah. Right. Like, I have this joke, like, you know, it's so hard. Like, you know, Facebook has taken the craftsmanship out of stalking. You know, you used to... After, like, memorize a girl's schedule. You would, you know, fall out of a tree. Binoculars would break all over your face. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking nightmare.
There was an art form.
There was an art form to it. Yes. After 2 months of real work, maybe you'd smell a bicycle seat. But, I mean, we're talking gumshoe. You're on the ground there. Now, with Facebook, you could Google map someone's house. Just beat off to an ex-girlfriend's roof. It's fucking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Think of the old times. So it's just the crafts, but the craftsmanship is out of stock.
Yeah. And so you're saying that the stalkers these days in the end really don't have the traditional values that they did.
Exactly.
Back
what I'm saying is when you're doing days. That of the polarizing comedian figure is when you start taking the side of clear sexual deviants and rapists and perverts and weirdos, you know, people get offended because, you know, they don't have a friendship with me to know
but,
that, you know
but,
what I
but
mean?
But your comedy has to be autobiographical, so you have to do it that way.
Yeah. I have to talk about the time I ran a train on a clown.
Yeah.
It's just, these are things that happened.
I had no idea.
His nose honked. His? To Jennifer is a movie that you filmed with James Cullen Bresak as the prodigy director. And what kind of things can you tell us about it?
Yeah,
how is this coming up?
Yeah, James is a young, up-and-coming director of our first feature, Hate Crime, that's doing well. And now the follow-up is To Jennifer. It's another found footage film, and the reason why is because it's really easy and cheap to make. And one day, James picked up his camera phone and said, let's make a movie on it. So it's a cool little movie about a guy who travels cross-country to confront his girlfriend with evidence that she's been cheating on him. And I play the friend that picks him up from the airport and causes him some problems on part of their trip on the way out there. And it's kind of a comedy, kind of a horror. It's kind of got some different stuff in it, but it's really interesting.
And you're saying this is the first film that's being shot on an iPhone.
Yes.
He's shooting this movie on an iPhone, making an iPhone app, integrated marketing. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's on the ground floor of fucking, oh, I get it. Everyone has an iPhone. I'm going to make an iPhone app movie, motherfucker.
I think he didn't have any money and had a bunch of really great movie ideas in his head and wanted to figure out a way to do it.
I shot it on my iPhone, motherfucker.
That's what he did.
Make me an app, bitch. That's what James Cullen Bresak says to the world.
I don't know.
Especially the Apple people at the Apple plantation.
I think he's a little more professional, I think, in the way that he talks about it.
Oh,
he says it that way.
No, but he's dressed up nice and his grill is all like, he's got like a sweet grill. So it's like formal. You know what I mean? Like it's like gold and with diamonds in it. So it's like his formal wear. And he's like, hi, motherfucker. Got an app of shit, bye, bitch.
I'll be honest, I haven't been in any of the business meetings with James, but I don't think he.
No, but he's laying a vibe of swagger down. You know what I mean? And then it's like, okay, let's start there, and then let's understand how you're going to get out your checkbook because this shit's going down. Because I'm a real artist.
But he doesn't.
Because I can just scream like that.
He doesn't pay for that kind of dentistry work. Just for these meetings, though, to have the gold teeth.
No, but it's his formal wear. But it doesn't have to be real gold. It can be painted, you know what I mean? You can have it.
Yeah, but if you paint your teeth gold, doesn't that get, like, some iron or something? Or some something slips into
there's
your system?
There's a lot of carcinogens.
There's
a lot of carcinogens.
You don't paint... The gold teeth you have are real, right? You don't paint those.
But it's like, if it's a business meeting...
You paint your teeth, don't
no,
you?
No, but if it's a business
Eric.
Meeting and you want it to look fresh...
I can't believe you.
I got it. It's weird, because I had a test the other day, and apparently I have AIDS. But I think it's just because my immune system is so crushed, because I've been spray painting my grill.
You really need to stop doing that.
But it's formal.
And I didn't know you had
AIDS.
I'm just
saying it's my formal wear.
Will you get a Band-Aid for that cut, please?
You want to bleed blood, brothers?
I'm just saying.
Jody,
tell me.
How long have we been friends?
I'm not, at least 2 weeks, but I'm not being prejudiced against your AIDS. I'm just saying you have an open wound with blood on it, and I feel uncomfortable in your car that you didn't tell me first.
Can I tell you this?
What are you going to tell me?
I'm going to register us as blood brothers at a courthouse.
Does that mean I have AIDS, even if I get your blood or not? Because I'm your registered blood brother.
I've been dripping it in your food in the fridge.
Oh, you're such a practical joker.
Ah! Got you. You got my AIDS.
Always get me with your AIDS.
I think, but that's fake AIDS. I didn't get it from ass sex or a blood transfusion in the 80s. I got it from gold teeth, so I think I'm a false positive. Because I've just been spray painting my teeth with... Wait, it's my formal wear. Because, I want to look fresh in a business meeting. So, there's been a little bit
of... As long as the Van Nuys Audio Gang doesn't listen to your podcast.
They are basically my only subscribers is the Van Nuys Badio Gang.
Badio?
Is that what you fucking said?
No, Badio.
What? Badio?
Badio. Badio.
Oh, Badio.
Like Badio.
Stop bothering me. I'm trying to tell a fucking story. I'm trying to introduce a segment here.
It's my Badio. This is my hood, homie. That's what he said to me.
Okay.
This is my place. This is my body.
What we're talking about is... Our security level at our house went from amber to like a darker amber because you were accosted on the street.
Is that the color system?
I was just using Dick
amber,
Cheney's 9/11.
Darker amber, darkest amber. All right.
And then it's poo colored. Some shit came out?
I had to take a little shit.
A little poo came out? Are we talking about a dingleberry or a frizzle stick?
That's okay. I don't need to wipe. Thanks for letting me sit naked in your car.
No problem. You insisted on it. You said it would make me more comfortable. It would make me more comfortable.
Yeah. I am more
fine.
Comfortable.
Fine. All right. It's fine. I'm just going to look this way at the female hookers on our block. You were accosted by someone on the street. What happened?
It was Sunday at around 10:30 p.m. and I was about to step out of my car and a young gentleman was walking towards my car in the street and I got out and he came right at me and started asking me what I was doing here and who I was and who I was with and telling me that this was his place and he was with the Van Nuys gang and this was his area and he wanted to know who I was.
Did he seem to be on... drugs?
He did seem to be on drugs.
So do you think that there is a Van Nuys gang, or do you think that the drugs were telling him that there's a Van Nuys gang?
Well, I looked up the Van Nuys gang, and 6 months ago, there was a week where they killed 6 people in 1 week.
But, so they're like message boarding this on the...
No, this was a news article from the LA Times about... the murders that have been were going on in this little block area where we live.
So what are the murders like? Initiation murders? Like, are they...
Initiation murders?
Well, like, you know, if you want to be in my gang, you got to kill, like, a baby.
They did... They didn't mention any
carve babies. It up like a turkey.
They didn't mention any
and
babies,
bake it and shit.
Apparently, a couple streets down, there were a couple drive-by shootings. Most of the killings all seem to be inter-gang related. I don't believe that we are in any direct danger where we live. We are in danger everywhere because that's what life is. But I think I stepped into his path in the wrong time, and we do live in an area where. People who like to throw their weight around kind of walk around sometimes. So yeah. I need to be a little more careful about who I open my door in front of.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I feel about the encounter at this point.
Do you feel like you should have stayed in your car for a little bit longer?
Well, I saw...
for the crazy guy to pass and then get out?
I saw him walking and I thought for a minute he was walking aggressively, but in my head... The thing I always do in that situation is just keep doing what I'm always like, fuck it, I'm going to do what I was going to do anyway. So what
right.
is walking by me? I'm going to be prideful about it, and I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And I just happened to step out of my car 10 feet before he walked up, and I was in his path, and I think he was probably on a little on crystal, and he was kind of aggressive, and I think he did what naturally comes to him in his life and what his life is. And I luckily was able to get him to walk away without causing me any more difficulty.
That's what we want to avoid in our life. Causing any difficulty.
Or receiving any.
And then he walked up to you and started talking crazy. I'm from the Van Nuys gang. Yeah. Where are you from? Yeah. What sort of ship are you come from? I was just abducted. You don't know what the aliens look like. Yeah. You don't know what the messages are. Did you see the news? Yeah. Six drive-by killings.
His voice was a little more masculine, but yeah. Yeah, almost exactly.
He's told you a lot of information.
He did. And he wanted to know my information.
What's your astrological sign? What's your blood type? What'd you have for lunch today? Are you regular with your bowel movements? Supplementation. Any kind of creatine supplements you're taking? Where's your favorite beef jerky? He's in the Van Nuys gang. You know, you just think you don't have to fill out a form with your fucking likes and dislikes if you're joining the Van Nuys gang? No, it is. There's paperwork involved. They're not all just ganging. Gang banging.
Go ahead, keep going.
They're signing a gang of documents.
Oh. Eric is doing is hosting
a podcast.
Theater of Deranged Part 2.
Yeah.
Which is the next feature film from James Bresak, the up-and-coming director we spoke about earlier.
It's got a distribution deal in place.
It does. And James...
I'm going to be on the cover of a DVD called Theater of the Deranged Motherfucking 2. Yeah,
probably on the cover. I think you'll probably be on the cover, but probably. Have you been promised the cover? Because I've been promised the cover. That's what I'm saying. I know I'm only in one short of the five short films, and you will be throughout the film. You will be the main guy promoting and hosting the whole series. But I still think that under my contract, I get to be on the cover.
Well, when they see... You know, this is exactly like the Sports Illustrated, you know, swimsuit edition. Like, all the girls go out there and they're like, I'm going to be on the cover, I'm going to be on the cover. But then, you know, it's like when they see the beach footage that I'm going to deliver... They'll be like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not that I'm not confident. It's just that the amount of time I've been working out and stuff, it's like I just know that I'm going to be on the cover.
Right, so. And it's exactly like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. You work out a bunch. You have a great, what did you say, a beach day? You had a great beach day?
I had a beach shoot.
And you absolutely should be on the cover because of everything you've done. But in the end, I fucked the director, and so I get to be on the cover.
You bitch. You slut. I have class. Okay? I have class.
I take it.
And I try to earn it. Oh, my God. You are disgusting. Okay. So I'm going to be on the cover because I'm hosting something called Theater of the Deranged 2. It's a series of short films. You were in one of them.
I was.
And tell me about your short film.
Unmimely Demise. It was the first film I did with James. Mm-hmm. It's about a mime who has disappeared after 10 years because after he killed his wife and his best friend, who I am played by his best friend, and not to give away any spoilers, but I didn't die. And he comes back to kill me and all of my friends. And he kills us with, because he's a mime, he's such a good mime, he's able to mime weapons. And he uses those weapons to try to kill us, and then I try to protect my family. It's a fun little
film. It's a fun short film, yeah.
No, it's fun. It's a fun little kind of campy-ish horror. Yeah. Some of them, there are five different horror shorts, and they all are a little bit different from each other. But I know that you're going to do, as the host, you're going to, you know, make it good.
Thanks, man. No, I love I'm Unmimely Demise, too. It's got some really funny bits in it. It's really funny.
Yeah, it's Alexi Kuros who plays the kind of the main mime, and he's really great. And Sophie D, the porn star, is in it, and I have a nice little scene as a clown with her.
Okay, so...
you got to see my little clown scene with her, right?
I saw basically everything. We're still waiting on one short film. All right. Let me tell you something about the Theater of the Deranged 2. You are supporting local up-and-coming directors. Fine. Great. There's a lot of tits in this shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you just are like, oh, wait a minute, okay, oh, Eric's going to be in it. He's going to host it. That's going to be funny. I'm going to giggle twice. Mm-hmm. What else is going on? Tits. And let me tell you something. Really nice ones, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can, like, really get one out if you can, like... take screenshots and stuff.
Well, no, we set it up where it's the perfect time to pause the movie. You can it's a few minutes in and you get the plot of the movie and then the tits come out and you can pause it at that point, rub one out, and then you'll be ready for the rest of the film. The film doesn't last too long, so you know, even if you're a sleeper after you come, you really don't need to. It'll keep you awake for like 10 minutes.
And it's not like the plots are that like intricate or whatever. You can be like have like. Just whacked off and like be half conscious and probably figure it out. I mean it's stupid ghost hunting. By the way, keep on checking out ericollerbach.com. More Damien Shadows are coming out every week. Wilhelm Skeptisch is coming out. We heard from Calder Holbrook. He was on the fucking podcast. Here Comes Godot is going to come out in 2014. Theater of the Deranged 2 DVD is coming out. Check out my stand updates. I mean, you know, things are happening.
Things are happening.
Get on my news feed.
Uh-huh. Just go see his stand up.
And
his stand up is really good.
And
so go see his stand up.
It is. You have, but
I mean, listen, everything you do is good. But the stand up is what people should go see.
Thanks, man. The
But that's... edit that out. I don't want anybody else to hear that.
What?
Sorry. That's just between you and me.
So I can't quote you?
Yeah, no. I want that, it on record
that might...
I do not allow any positive remarks I might make about Eric or his talent as comic.
The other thing you said is it's interesting, which is what you say when you want to go, it's weird.
It just means I want to talk about it. It just means we should talk about it. It's not bad. We should just talk about it.
It's going to open a discussion of, you know, what is good comedy, you know? It opens that discussion wide up.
It does.
Because you're not always going to see that, you know? But it's like, then again, this was an experience. I was a human in a chair, trapped like a rat, you know, to this... these delusions of grandeur by this
It is your, and I know you're not talking about yourself right now, but it is your unpredictability on stage that I like, and then makes it particularly interesting to watch, because I don't always know where you're going to go and what you're going to say and how the audience is going to respond, and that's one of the things I love about watching stand-up comedy.
You were telling me when I started going to Liquid Zoo shows, I was like, well, yeah, I'm probably going to go on at like 9 o'clock. And you're like, yeah, I know, but I kind of want to stay the whole time. I want to watch the devastation of the, of bombing after bombing after bombing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Why do you like that so much?
Yeah. Well, I love stand-up comedy. I love the vulnerability of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are some people who are really good and just bomb, and there are some people who are just really bad, and they bomb all the time. But they get up on stage, and to watch that happen it's not necessarily. I mean, I want to say it's fun. It's not really fun. It's not like I'm enjoying somebody else's dreams getting killed. The exposure of it to me is brave. It's a really brave thing to do, to get up on stage and do that. And so whether it's going well or not well, it's interesting and fun to watch.
Because the stakes for that person, it's like maybe that's the only time that one person is getting up all week. Or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, or maybe... A couple podcasts back, I had this guy called German Garcia on, and he's with the Jimmy Time podcast, and he's told me he's done stand-up like 3 times. But each time he goes up, he writes a new like 5 minutes, and the anxiety is so much that when he actually does it, it's like a transformative experience each time he does it. And it's almost like the reaction doesn't matter that much, and his relation to it is more of just, no, every time I'm going up, I'm doing a new 5 minutes, you know what I mean?
And he doesn't feel like that that he hurts himself by not working that 5 minutes more and more to try to improve it?
But I don't even think it's there for, like, it's almost like that's not even what the thing is to do.
Hmm.
He's not, it's just, for some people... You know, you never know who's going for, like, what people's barometers are for. Mm-hmm. Some people will just do it, like, four times in their life, and then they'll go, I'm out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, skipping a rock across a pond of their life before that rock sinks. Mm-hmm. You know, they do it, it skips three times, and they're like, I'm fucking out. You know, it's very rare that a fucking rock makes it all the way across the pond. Mm-hmm. How many times are you going to fucking skip? How many times are you going to get up there and fucking put it on the line? There's this one joke that I've done a lot of times. My number one joke. My A material joke. Done it a lot. Especially, I've done it, you know, 40 times or something like that. And it always goes well. And then last night, it fucking tanked with everything else. Like, as I'm spiraling, as things aren't going well, I'm just off a bit where they're like, the audience has seen me fail already. So they're much more open to failure being a possibility.
Just doesn't seem too soon for the JFK assassination material. All right. It's gotta be that kind of fucking night tonight. It's gonna get weird now.
And it's even if you're throwing good jokes at them and some people like it, then they get in a less vocal mentality where they're just like, I'm just watching television now because I'm just watching him flounder. And if he says something funny now, I'll just be entertained by it, but I'm going to keep it in because, you know, no one else is laughing. I don't want to make a fuss by laughing. I don't want to, you know, disturb my neighbor by laughing. I'm just going to be a voyeur now.
Yeah.
Whitney Cumming must have been really great, right? She just set a bar that I am falling short of right now. You guys got your dicks kicked off earlier. I am just laying a shit.
And so that, and it was just like, there wasn't much reaction the whole time, so. Anyway, let's play a clip of that.
Anybody play German spotlights, like tag with a flashlight? I play this game with my friends in the neighborhood.
Wait, I love this clip.
wait, let's. It's not quite agonizing enough.
All right, roll clip.
That's how Dick Cheney comes, people.
And we're back. Oh, that was great. Excruciating.
Holy shit, that was great.
Oh, man, I came.
Oh, that was fantastic.
It was almost, but it was like a shame boner.
Hey,
like
really quick, can we show a clip from my new film to Jennifer?
An audio clip?
No, a video clip.
Where can people get it? It's a podcast, though, man. It's a podcast.
I know. We'll just show it. We'll put it on the screen for them as they're watching the podcast.
Is there a link to a trailer now? Is that possible to do?
There is not. There is a new trailer for Hate Crime, though. It's a new trailer. It shows way too much. But it's great. It's a great trailer.
Can I link to it in the description of this episode?
Yes. Yeah, you can.
Okay, well,
yeah, you can. Send it's, that along. It's on my Facebook page, but I'll send it to you.
Cool.
But I'll send it to you.
Thanks for being a guest, Mr. Jody Barton.
Yeah, it is always fun.
All right, later. What's up, Stephen G?
Nothing much. How's it
going?
Here's
the thing. I gotta tell you, I don't know if you know if you're hip to this or not, but I mean, I put my feelers out there. I see. I'm looking at statistics when I'm posting Highway Diary episodes. I'm managing the Facebook stream. I'm seeing the conversation of Highway Diary coming in and out. And Mr. Stephen G, favorite guest. Everyone loves you.
Really?
Yeah. So
wow!
So I
thank
mean,
you,
I just,
everybody.
I just keep having you back because oh you are goodness. Just a ray of sunshine on the
thank
highway.
Thank you so much. That makes me feel really warm inside.
And you're credentialed because you're an Eagle Scout.
I am.
Tell
I am
me
an
some
Eagle
Boy Scout.
Scout
shit. How'd you get in there?
Let's see. My parents told me that I needed to do something, get off my ass, and go out into the world and become a man. And so they enrolled me in the Boy Scouts of America. I started out as a Bear Scout. And I remember it being very, very easy. I remember my first camping trip with my dad. My dad was there, and we made, like, Mountain Man, like, tin foil. Like, you just put tin... Basically, all you do is you get meat, vegetables, you cut them all up, you put them in tin foil, and then you throw it on a fire. And it's called, like, a Mountain Man...
That's a badge.
Yeah, it's that's, like, a badge.
Yeah, so you're, as you're going through, they give you, like, a book, and you have to get... And they go, hey, if you do this shit, that's a badge. You do this shit, that's a badge. It's like a scavenger hunt or select a quest.
That's correct.
You know?
Yes.
Like, it's almost like live action role playing with camping gear.
Yeah, or like fantasy football.
Yeah, and then you achieve, you know, ceremonial degrees.
Right. Yeah, and then you that means that you're more of a person.
Yeah.
And you're more prepared.
And there's a level structure to it. And, you know, a lot of, there's a big survivalist thing going on in America now where people are, like, you know, hoarding food.
Right,
hoarding
because they think the world's going to end.
So you have a big advantage.
I do have a huge advantage. Actually, know? I don't even really need to hoard food. All I need to do is just, all you have to do is send me out into the woods and then I will build a city.
But also, you know, a lot of the techniques are like, you know, you got to store some water and drink some water out of a sewer out of your boot. A lot of it is just hobo shit.
Oh, for sure.
Especially in the urban Boy Scouting, right. You know what I mean?
Listen, just three leaves and shiny, don't wipe your hiney. That's it. That's all you really
that's
need
That's poison
know.
Ivy.
That's poison ivy.
There you go.
That's correct.
My mom, you know, went through the book with me when I was, you know, in Cub Scouts, too. And, you know, we had a pool in the back. So there was a bunch of aquatic things, and we were sitting in our, you know, living room in December, and my mom starts going, wait a minute, well, we've done, like, if I threw a ring in the pool, you could, like, retrieve that, right? Mm-hmm. And she goes, that's a badge.
And then she just checked it
so
out
So she
you?
Submitted for, like, a catalog of swimming ones. And then as we were getting the badges put on us in the thing, the guy made a comment like, got a lot of, for it being December, you have a lot of aquatic things. And then she was like, ooh, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom.
But then you're like, we like to do it hard. We like to do it tough. Right? Because you're like, that's the best time.
Yeah.
December.
Well, she was just seemed really guilty, and I felt terrible for receiving an award that I didn't earn. You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
I mean,
honestly,
I had done that stuff,
yeah,
but not for the purpose of this is my.
I gotta say, Boy Scouts, half of it is what the parents do. Like, if you don't have really supportive parents, you're probably not gonna make it through. It's a sad fucking fact, but like you can. It's just I know that if your parents are like super supportive, they will like kick you into gear.
Yeah, or set up scenarios in which, you know, you can actually earn things.
Yeah,
you know?
But like an 11 to 18, that's about Boy Scouts, like that span of 7 years. That's like the worst time of a human being's life is between the ages of 11 and 18, probably. Mm-hmm. And to expect a kid to be so self-motivated that, you know, in that span they're gonna do like all this community service and whatever. No, they're fucking worried about the fucking hairs that are like coming in. Yeah. You know, their voice getting weird. Yeah.
But they want to distract you where it's like, hey, today you can earn a badge on a vest of accomplishments for making a macaroni necklace.
Right, macaroni necklace.
Yeah, and then in some circles you're an asshole with a vest. It's like you're like, you got a like TGI Friday flair for all your accomplishments that you have, you know? It's like, oh yeah, I'm a swimmer. Let's talk a little religion, because, you know, I grew Christian, which is another sort of like level structure thing. There's the baptism, there's the, you try to get that pyramid.
Yeah,
to
then you
to
get
God.
Into, do you have like what is it called? Confirmation?
Yeah, your dad's 16. I'm confirmed that for the rest of my life.
Did you confirm that when you were 16?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't do it. I was like, fuck that shit.
I did a church retreat, and I watched a bunch of, like,
older
jock people, like, have sobbing testimonials of when it was, like, really hard in their life, and it blew my mind. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a very powerful emotional thing for me to, like,
witness
sure. These people being so vulnerable who are, like, such a dick normally.
Right.
And, you know, so that was, like, I learned a lot about humanity, and then they go, oh, by the way, Jesus. And then, you know, these are your peers. And then someone steps behind a sneaky corner and go, I'm a priest. It's about Jesus. And then they, you know, unzip. But,
Did that really happen?
No, man. I've just screamed on the podcast in, like, the second episode, like, me and my buddy Jeff Reeves, we're both Catholic, we were both molested. Okay. Not true. I never corrected the record, so I've never been
not true,
molested.
Not true.
But that was one, when that scandal started breaking, that's how I broke out of that operating system. Now, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I want to, you know, so Eagle Scouts, if you do all the Eagle Scouts, they kind of put your mind in a certain operating system of, oh, I can achieve this thing. If you know.
I have to be helpful. I have to help other people.
Earning badges.
Exactly.
Like, that's some big motivating thing. I guess for a kid.
It really is.
An accredited kid, you know, and you're like.
I'm telling you, man, I would not have been an Eagle Scout were it not for my parents.
Yeah.
I was not that motivated.
But
shouldn't be an Eagle Scout.
Then I took mushrooms, and I feel like I had, you know, I think college is like and breaks you out of your operating system, especially if you go away in a dorm room or something like this. That breaks you out of the operating system of being a kid in under your parents' roof. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, taking mushrooms, I think if you're stuck in a certain pattern, it's a good way to blow your mind and think about all the different possibilities of, like, you have a body, you have a certain number of hours in a day. Do you want to take that body and become a master of something? You know what I mean? I don't know. That's kind of what I got out of it, mm-hmm. of taking mushrooms, is like anything is possible. If you want to be the master of something, you can be a fucking wizard of improv comedy, you know, for example, or you can be a fucking wizard at being a Western doctor. But you know, I just find that people that with a singular goal and become good at one thing and specialize are
more
interesting.
I just want to go back and just point out something.
Go on.
It's just being really good as a Western doctor.
Mm-hmm. You're a fucking wizard.
You're a wizard, but you're also a Western doctor. It's like a wizard. You're being a wizard at being a Western doctor. But, like, I feel like being a doctor.
Who knows all the nuances that go into that job?
But what, being Western, of course, you always have to wear a gun or two guns in a holster. Maybe a cowboy hat.
And if someone, like, challenges you to a duel and throws a white glove at you,
you just
fucking
pull
on.
Out your medic kit.
Imagine if a Western doctor had a gun that shot scalpels, how devastating that would be. It's just circles.
Or maybe, like, you have a Western doctor who shoots a bullet into the bullet that's already in the person to get both bullets out.
Oh, yeah. You're doing surgery with a gun.
Yeah.
Like, some kid is like, Western doctor, my appendix, and he just like shoots it four times yeah. and blows out the side
and
of the kid.
Thank you.
I feel so much better. Just puts a bandage around him. He just lassos a bandage on him from like 15 feet away,
and he's just like, yeehaw.
Oh, I got from improv comedy this thing of being a wizard because I realized that, look, in improv comedy, if you want to be a dog from fucking space, you can be a dog from space. If you want to be, you know. The greatest basketball player ever, the greatest baseball player ever, or an French-speaking octopus. You can do that in improv comedy. And it showed me that, like, you know, whatever is going on inside your consciousness, you are a vessel to make it happen.
For sure.
And yeah. I think that's also what mushrooms kind of teaches you. It just rattles you and it makes you remember, like, you have a certain number of hours, you can do anything. You can change everything. Anytime. So,
Thank you very much, Eric.
Have you ever had experiences with psychedelic mushrooms?
I have taken mushrooms.
What do you think about what I'm saying?
I think that mushrooms make you, in the moment, believe anything and make you super gullible. And people can say things to you and they become true to you in a very specific way to you. So, like, if somebody said to me, my friend Chris T, my friend said to me, hey, we're both, like, high off our ass on shrooms. And
yeah.
he goes, Chris T is the dean. And I'm like, yeah, that's so true. Chris T is the dean. And I'm looking at Chris T, who's, like, on shrooms, like, by himself over there. And then we believe that he's the dean, as in, like, the dean of a school.
Or just a dean?
Just as is it is. It's, like, completely random, as is. Chris T over there, sitting over there, he's now the dean.
Mm-hmm.
And we both believe that he was the dean, and everything that he had to say was like true for our college that we were at. You know, I see. The dean now, and then now he's like, bah, 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 bah. So you and that's all... how we perceive him uh-huh. together, you know, and like that's what mushrooms do. They makes just make you.
They trick your brain into being really gullible.
Really gullible.
And it, you can implant encoded message. You can mess with people. You can, if you want, you know, want a Manchurian candidate, you give a guy mushrooms, and then, you know, you put
And then
him,
you train him.
Yeah. And then
you put mushrooms in, like, his muffin that he's supposed to eat at a certain time he's at the...
And then you go, caca, and then he shoots people.
Right.
Yeah. How do you think the Boston Marathon happened? Okay, we're breaking it down.
Whoa, that is an interesting... I wonder why all these killings happen, because I'm like, I don't feel like people want to kill other people.
Right.
It's just, you have that mentality that is somehow put in you. But, I mean, it might just be societal. It's not necessarily... It's the experiences that they've had in their life till that point. Every single thing that's happened to them and... You know, they're people too, obviously. And
if you're looking, like a lot of people nowadays, it's like so like centered on fame, being famous, you know, being ordained by the media in a way where forever you will be in the public record if someone Googles your name forever. There's going to be that article come up of you doing that killing. And I think some people are so desperate for meaning that they want. They think that if they live in some kind of public record... That's also why I think actors do so many movies. Like, why does Johnny Depp need to do any more movies ever? Why doesn't he just rest and enjoy his riches, you know? But there's... he wants to be in more... The bigger catalog the movie he's in, he can solidify his immortality.
I mean... Maybe he just likes doing movies, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Absolutely. Of course. I'm sure it's fun as hell.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you're just up there playing and everyone loves it. It's like, that's got to be a pretty addicting feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think about,
Johnny Depp?
No, your immortality and stuff and...
Yeah, I think about my immortality all the time. I believe that I will never die. Do I think about my death at all? Yeah, I think about death all the time. I think that it's a good thing to think about it. Because you have to like be able to imagine all that stuff happening to you, and then you won't be afraid.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay... Well, you have to, and you take it as a real thing, and you treat it as like a real thing.
I think anyone's who I've been knocked out a few times, and I think that is an eye opener as far as what death could be.
Someone has punched you out?
Well, I fell while I was playing basketball with my friends once, and then I got all the way home, and I was fine, but I ran home, I knew I was fucked up, I knew I was off somehow, and I got all the way home, then I went to take a shower, because I was filthy, you know. Playing basketball outside and falling over and stuff, and then in the shower I was like uh-oh, and then I had to sit down for a while and I laid in the shower and knocked out. Probably for
a little bit,
2 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I also had a stomach virus, so I couldn't eat, and then I fainted and I woke up on the side like where I had fallen with my head against the wall in a really bad position. I woke up and I was like, I got fucked up, and like I woke up alone, no one had known, you know what I mean? I had a skiing accident, you know, that was bad. I crashed into my science teacher's son, like in sixth grade. We were on ski club.
Oh God.
And he was like waiting for a line, and I had just gone down a black diamond that was like a sheet of ice. And then with like, after the ice, there was like the line's right there.
Oh God.
And so I went down this thing. And I was like sideways, and I was like, if I turn like that, I'll fall. If I turn like that, I'll fall. And then I got into the lines, and I dodged like five people going like 50 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
Probably 30 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
But I just fucking wrapped around this kid and fucking...
Did you hurt him?
Yeah, I think we both knocked. I think I knocked him out too, you know.
You both went out cold?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's bad.
It was bad. It's
Holy
brutal.
Man.
How did your science teacher talk?
I got a C. I got a C that marking period.
Gentlemen C, okay. Unless you didn't get failed. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I was pretty good at science. That was an outlier. I usually got A's and B's.
Oh, really?
And
oh,
then,
okay.
Boom, C that mark. Boom, oh. You know. So
you didn't go skiing after that for a while, huh?
I think, I don't know. I don't know how much they knew about concussions then. I think the next skiing trip was in 30
How
days.
Old were you?
Sixth grade? I don't
Sixth
know.
Sixth grade? Yeah.
10?
Right. Fuck it.
11 or something?
You're a boisterous kid.
Nah, I was also a Boy Scout accredited skier. I was learning merit badges.
Accredited?
Because I was an accredited... I did it, and then 6 months later, I opened a book with my mom, and she goes, let's give you those badges, too. You did that? I don't have to do anything today.
We would always have to get the, like, other dads in the scout troop, and they would have to do it. So I just hated fucking asking for a fucking favor like that. So I didn't want to do it. I always just put it off my parents, like, just finish the merit badge. You want to get this? And I'm like, ugh. I don't really want to go over there and just, like, talk about, like, fucking the community. You know, right. It's like, what? I don't know. What community? My community is my parents, me, and then, like, my friends from school.
Yeah.
And it's like,
a bunch of seniors are sitting there talking about pussy, like, and then it was just one bitch. Ow, she was fine. They're just talking about yeah, that over like, checkers, and you walk up and go... What's a community center? Yeah. What do you think about the community? Yeah. And they're like, ugh. Anyway, this one time I was fucking this guy.
It's like, God.
And then I earned a merit badge because I listened to a guy talk about having sex at 15.
Yeah. We had to go to, like, see a jury once. I remember that. So I had to go see a jury.
The justice merit badge.
Citizenship of the nation, I believe, or something like that. So we had to go see, like, a court case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Some kind of libel suit.
That was so fucking boring to me. I was just like, why? Yeah. I don't want to sit here and listen to these people's personal problems. That lady's obviously homeless. And that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, she's a crazy person. And
yeah,
she
I mean,
says
why are we making
libel?
Such a big deal out of this? Like, just let her go. Like, come on. Yeah, she's got no money.
Yeah, she's here so she can have free coffee and bagels
exactly.
outside.
Yeah.
And something warm. Mm-hmm. Someone to pay attention to her.
What are you going to get?
Okay, I'll say my piece.
Yeah, it's like, okay, what do you want?
I also, speaking of kind of existential things, I remember I was really worried about time one time when I was a kid, like when I was like 13, and I was like, you know, as time goes by, I just forget about these moments. I just go through life and just more and more life comes at me and I just forget about it. You know what I mean? And so I was like, I'm never going to, and I was thinking about this, I'm never going to remember this moment, for example. And I always remembered that moment of looking around the room, what the room looked like. But I don't remember exactly when this happened. Maybe between 13 and 15, let's say.
That's
but
decent.
I remember walking, having a conversation with myself. And I was just looking at, you know, a closet at the end of the hall. But I was like, I'm never going to forget this moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I've told myself that I would never forget this moment and then I would forget the moment.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten it now.
But why is that important to hoard moments? You know? I realize it's like more... It's just... You just put social tools in yourself and then, you know...
This is a moment right here and this is for the listeners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just
putting
gonna show this visual for the listeners.
Finger and thumb about 2 inches apart.
No, you don't have to describe it. They'll get it.
Okay.
You have this about like this much... is a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then in order to remember that much of a moment, you take this much of a moment as well to remember that moment, and then you
right.
have a moment.
So
then you have
some...
a moment, you know, like
yeah,
just
yeah,
a bunch
yeah.
of just moments that are the same thing is happening in your head, in your consciousness.
So the moment of me afterward thinking, I have to remember that moment, is just another moment.
Right.
Just as legitimate as the moment I have to be remembered.
But the thing is that it's better to remember things based upon things that are happening to you now, in the moment. And then remembering those things, you know, but
yeah.
to remember something also just takes zero time.
Yeah. And also, you know, don't you want to, like, have... like, enjoy what you're doing. And if you're, you know, those people that just hoard all kinds of moments, and you know, like psychologists say, like, you know, times of stress, there's post-traumatic stress disorder. It's like people can't let go of a certain moment, and then they're just in a rocking chair, just going, rah, 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 rah. You know? It's the brain shutting down. I say.
Yeah, no, it goes on loop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's been times where I thought I was going crazy because I could not stop the image of a gymnast going round and round forever on, like, one of those bars.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, stop, get off the bars, get off the bars. And I tried to imagine the getting off the bars, but I couldn't. Yeah. And I was just like, it's just going round and round and round. Yeah. There it is. And, like, I kept thinking that until I would just, like, either fall asleep or, I mean, just, I couldn't stop it. And I was just, like, pissed off. I would be, like, really, really mad. Yeah.
I remember, and how much of that is just your brain growing? As your body grows, you just have these obsessive thoughts because you're, yeah, it's like your mind is rendering to the new size in your fucking biological skull. Mm-hmm. And so you just see weird things, just like your bones hurt as they're fucking growing and you have growth plates, yeah, and you have grow pains.
Yeah.
You know? I remember just going through an unbelievable growth spurt. You know, and I was just, like, hauled up in bed, and I was just, like, moaning, you know. Just, like, two nights or whatever, but it, like, really, really hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, in psychology, that's... I remember I would have obsessive thoughts about just, like, a rhythm. It's like, da 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 da, and just getting faster and faster, and then slower and slower, and then da 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 da, and it would make me dizzy. Just having an obsessive thought of that rhythm.
Oh, wow.
What is that? Why do we need that?
We don't need that. We don't need that. We should not have that.
It's just years of evolution of you are the strongest fish that gets away from this killer thing. Like, in your DNA as like humans came out from a primordial soup, and you just hear, oh, I have to evade that. I have to
and then it goes right back to where it was.
Fucking you.
I'm a firm believer in this has happened before and this will all happen again.
In this moment, this podcast, this recording of this.
Everything.
Two entities.
All
futuristic,
in
other dimensional alien versions of Stephen G and Eric Hollenbach. And another one. Do you think that they're going to get this podcast right? Because Highway Diaries has been pretty fucking, you know.
Awesome.
I've been hitting these guys with some heavy shit.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I've been also having an existential crisis because I realize I'm having a personal struggle with my own shallowness in looking at women. Like a shallowness of...
Oh, beauty. Yeah, I've had that struggle.
Yeah. It's really hard because, mm-hmm, you know, on TV all day is like, oh, the most beautiful people that they can get, they put on TV. And that's what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's like, what is the difference? It's a person who... And what's more arbitrary than the way someone looks? It's not... They don't earn it. No one earns their beauty. And so, you know, it's just why, at the same time, is it like, no, that's just a requirement in my head that I'm attracted to a high degree to a person that I'm going to go after, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just hardwired.
It's, yeah, it's like a fucking, you know, pollen.
I would love to lower my standards, but I just feel weird.
Don't have to. You can live by whatever standards you want and then be happy with that.
But, like, my standards are, you know.
What are you unhappy with?
I don't know. Just how high my standards are for beauty. Where it's like I'm not even interested if I'm not, like, really attracted to the person.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. But, like, attractiveness is very different. Like, you could look at a woman and I could look at a woman. And you could be like, well, I'm totally into that. And
yeah,
I'd be
like,
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Right, you know? Right, right, right.
Because I know what kind of women you like, Eric, honestly.
Is that just another perspective thing? Just I'm in my operating system? I don't know. I can't.
Everybody's
in
their own operating.
I gotta change this to where, you know, if I take mushrooms, I go, anything's possible. I can be with a, you know, 600-pound woman in a wheelchair. That's possible. I should make my dream happen and just go after someone with all kinds of folds.
If that is your dream?
It's not my dream, though. Right. But I know in an infinite possibility world of, you know, anything can happen, that I, you know, that fractal's possible, where I can just go down a massive cannonball woman route. It's not, it hasn't happened, you know?
It can totally happen. You can do that at any time. You could do that tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah, you could do that at any time.
I also wonder if you went around a nursing home and just went, any ladies in here want free sex? Free sex.
You could probably get...
Could that happen?
You could probably get a lot of that, actually. To have the balls to be able to do that, and some women are attracted to that.
Yeah.
And I think that would work for you. But the thing is that you might not want the women that want these kind
exactly.
of sex.
Exactly. So yeah. How can I change that? How can I change what I want to much, you know, frumpier people?
You don't need to do that. You don't need to change the thing. You only are attracted to what you're attracted to.
But just a quick side note, mm-hmm. My grandma was in a nursing home, and every time I went in, there was this one lady who was just like, ow! Be a mood killer. And that's, you know, I don't think you ask that lady if she wants sex. They're like, I'm being killed by being riddled by cancer person.
Right.
She'd move on to the next bed and be like,
for sure.
You know, they should be healthy enough.
Yeah.
Go on.
They should definitely be healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they say that it takes 10,000 hours to be a master at anything.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's weird, too, in our world is, I know you got to go soon. Being comedy knighting via Twitter. You know, Dave Chappelle was a funny fucking comedian, and then Eddie Murphy said, oh, that guy's funny, and then all of a sudden agents and managers swarmed Dave Chappelle, and then he got half-baked and he started doing stuff. But he was knighted. Nowadays, it's on Twitter. Nowadays,
what do you mean knighted?
He was knighted by the great Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy, it wasn't until Eddie Murphy said, Dave Chappelle's funny, that Dave Chappelle's career, you know, took off.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think he was doing well in the clubs and stuff, but it wasn't until he was knighted by... So, I just, like, from my experience in Los Angeles, it's like, there are so many fucking killers out there that the people who make it seems like those are the people who were knighted by someone, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah, maybe.
How can people see Stephen G do improv?
You can see me, actually, two nights a week. Or actually twice on Tuesday nights at 8:30 we go on with Breeze. The show starts at 8 o'clock and we go on with Breeze. English Speaking Moose goes on with Breeze at the Complex, which is on the corner of Santa Monica and La Brea. So yeah. come on Tuesday nights.
English Speaking Moose, the Complex. You know where the fuck it's at.
Yeah. Also, you can see me at IO at the DCT on Tuesday nights, also at 10:30. It's a double show.
Speaking of what we were talking about before, you want to see a master, someone who's put in the time, someone who has become a psychedelic wizard at improv comedy. Stephen G.
Thank you very much. I'm going to put a plug in there for Doctor Who Live, too, because they get mad at me.
Doctor Who Live.
All right. Here's another... you can also see me at Doctor Who Live every other Saturday at IO. It's on the main stage. And what we do is we improvise an episode of Doctor Who. And that's a lot of fun. So, come check us out. You can check us out at iOS.com. Or at the iOS website.
Yeah, iOS, type in Stephen G, and, like, your screen is going to be busy. It's going to be, like, rendering, because Stephen G is at the iOS, like, every other fucking day.
Yeah, I'm there a while, sometimes.
Master!
Not really.
Doctor Who Live.
Stop saying that.
English-speaking
No, mouse. Don't.
Stephen.
Shut up.
Motherfucking
Shut
G.
Shut the fuck.
In the fucking building.
No.
Modest.
I'm terrible.
Modest man. And that's why he is like a samurai.
Thank you very, very much for this vitamin water.
No worries.
Really
about
good.
It.
No was problem. Very, very good.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
I wanna talk to the people on mushrooms out there listening to this. Never, never forget this moment. Never, never forget Highway Diary. So that's mind control mushroom advertising people.
It's not good to just say that it's advertising. It's subliminal, but you just made it bliminal.